Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I find myself feeling filled with gratitude at this moment for our coming together to share these peaceful, healing, loving ideas to strengthen them in our minds. Let's begin our call, as we usually do, with a meditation. If you'd like, allowing your eyes to close if you're in a place where you can do so. And turning attention within. If we notice that we're coming into this with anything other than complete peace, we can simply know that we've just chosen to listen to a voice that we can choose not to listen to. And so in doing, we can just find our sense of willingness, the willingness in our heart to want to experience peace, the willingness to allow fear to be undone. And this willingness has to only be a tiny little speck, which is what we'll be reading about tonight. The little willingness is all that's asked of us. And if we have been feeling anything other than complete peace, that is no cause for guilt ever. Right now, we have the power to choose again, and the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences for us. We're placing Holy Spirit in charge tonight. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. Knowing that in every little moment that we even think of the Holy Spirit, we are always moving forward. There are never any setbacks. There's no such thing. And we can rest assured that that's true. So taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Welcome, everyone.
I love your meditation, Erin.
Oh, thank you, Sue. They come from the heart, from inspiration.
Thank you.
And from where I'm at, from where we're all at, if anybody says anything in the beginning of the call about anything, it often gives me inspiration, it inspires me, and it's always what I need to hear is what comes forward. So we are in the Sparkle Edition on page 431. The subheading is The Little Willingness. That corresponds to the original edition, chapter 18, part 5. And the Foundation for Inner Peace edition is chapter 18, part 4, The Little Willingness. I'm really excited about this section because pretty much the whole thing is saying that we need a tiny bit of willingness and that's it. We don't have to do more than that or else we're likely interfering with Holy Spirit. So that sums this up. But let's dive in for...
Thank God.
Thank God, right?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Here we go. The little...
Excuse me.
What was that?
Well, you know, I was listening to another teacher, Guy Finley, and when you said we're interfering with that, you know, there's the scripture that says resist not evil. But he said that what it truly means in the Aramaic is oppose not that which opposes you. So who said that? When we're doing that, we're interfering with Holy Spirit when we're trying to oppose anything.
Yes, I love that, because what is that saying? Oppose not that which opposes you. If we're opposing what we think is opposing us, number one, there's nothing opposing us, so we're already, you know, seeing amiss. And if we are opposing that which is not really there, we're just feeding it. We're just fueling
it. We're fanning the flames of nothingness.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's perfect. All right, let's dive in. The little willingness. The holy instance is the result of your determination to be holy. It is the answer. The desire and the willingness to let it come precedes its coming. You prepare your minds for it only to the extent of recognizing that you want it above all else. It is not necessary that you do more. Indeed, it is necessary that you realize that you cannot do more. Do not attempt to give the Holy Spirit what he does not ask, or you will add the ego unto him and confuse the two. He asks but little. It is he who adds the greatness and the might. He joins with you to make the holy instant far greater than you can understand. It is your realization that you need do so little that enables him to give so much. Beautiful. I feel like I could just read every sentence again. This is all so rich. So the holy instant is the result of your determination to be holy. What that means, where it says you prepare your minds for it only to the extent of recognizing that you want it above all else. There's that choice point of, I want to be happy. I want peace. I don't want this ego shenanigan, you know, insanity anymore. That it's that recognition that we want peace, that anything out there is not going to make us happy, that the ego's motto, seek but do not find, is always going to lead us, you know, down a road where we're not finding what it is that we think that we want. So it's simply by recognizing that we want truth. We want truth more than we want illusions. We want truth more than we want these silly dreams. And recognizing that is how you prepare your mind. And how small is that? Just by realizing that you want peace, realizing that you want happiness. So it's the holy instant is the result of your determination to be holy. It is the answer. So the holy instant is given. It is the answer. It's not something that we can make happen of ourselves. It goes on to say, again, I feel like I could just reread every single sentence. It's not necessary that you do more. Indeed, it is necessary that you realize you cannot do more. Do not attempt to give the Holy Spirit what he does not ask, or you will add the ego unto him and confuse the two. So that reminds me of how, you know, that saying goes that God created us in his image and likeness and we returned the favor, meaning we projected, number one, that God is male, that it's a person sitting up there controlling things, that he's vengeful, that he's angry, you know, that he punishes, all that stuff that we are have come light years with undoing in the mind. Do not attempt to give the Holy Spirit what he does not ask, or you will add the ego unto him. We add the ego unto the Holy Spirit by deciding that we think we know, by thinking that we, you know, are asked really to do more than the tiny bit that is asked, which is just to have that willingness. And it is Holy Spirit who adds the greatness and the might. So that's awesome. It's your realization that you need do so little that enables him to give so much. So that to me is just so, a thought comes forward, I will step back and let him lead the way. I will step back and let love be the guide and not put my judgment, my interpretation, my anything on anything. So that's what I have to say. Anybody else feel inspired to share?
I guess I'll just add that I think it was perfect that you had just put out that video like, what, a week ago or something, and it's pretty much on the same topic, and I realized after watching it how many times I do that. Like, I think I need to be doing something, or I'll hand over a situation but still feel kind of like crap and think that, oh, I need to be doing more. And so it's always doing, and then it goes back to that ego thing.
Right, right. Yeah, we're asked to do so little. Are you referring to the video about how to choose love? Is that the one?
Yes, that one.
Yeah, thank you. That for anybody who didn't see it, it's like Paul said, it's just kind of summing this up, that we are not asked to do Holy Spirit's job. Our task in choosing love, let me reword that. We can choose love from within an ego thought system if we're doing the Holy Spirit's job for it. So our task is to let Holy Spirit choose for love for us. So we do lapse into that so often, myself included. And these are great reminders tonight that we're collectively reinforcing in the mind. But we read the next paragraph. Oh, this is good. Trust not your good intentions. They are not enough. But trust implicitly your willingness, whatever else may enter. Concentrate only on this and be not disturbed that shadows surround it. That is why you came. If you could come without them, you would not need the holy instant. Come to it not in arrogance, assuming you must achieve the state its coming brings with it. The miracle of the holy instant lies in your willingness to let it be what it is. And in your willingness for this lies also your acceptance of yourself as you were meant to be. This first.
Right, I have a question.
Sure.
Versus willingness.
I didn't hear the first part of what you said. Did you say good intentions versus willingness?
Trust not your good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, trust your willingness. How are those different? Good intentions.
So, yeah, great question. So for me, what comes forward for me is, you know, we in our I feel like it's kind of a common thing where we say, oh, you know, my intentions were good, but this didn't go so well. Or like, you know, my intention for that was to have, you know, some positive outcome. Our good intention, if it's anything other than choosing for Holy Spirit, you know, if it's anything other than love with a capital L, it can be that, you know, it's the ego in there, that there's some ego in there. So it's saying, rather than be concerned about what your intention is, just go to that willingness. Do you have that bit of willingness within you to let the Holy Spirit take the lead, to give it to the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it? If you can go there to that place of willingness and rely on that, rather than, oh, you know, I had a positive intention for whatever it may be, then this is what it's prompting us to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, because our good intention may be what is not correct,
right,
what is needed at that moment, and what we think it would be a judgment call on our part to say.
There you go. That's the key word. It's a judgment call. So the Course says, how could you possibly know, you know, the best possible outcome for everybody involved in any given situation. Like, we have no idea.
You don't
and
have
so,
enough.
We have no clue. So you hit on the key word there, and that's judgment, that the good intentions can be, you know, sprinkled in there with
judgment. I know what they need. I know what this is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
Okay, great.
So we go back instead to our willingness to let Holy Spirit go first.
Right.
To be in that place. I don't know.
So
the next sentence, if I can just add here, the next sentence is one that was always very comforting to me, because it says, concentrate only on this. So concentrate only on willingness and be not disturbed that shadows surround it. That is why you came. If you could come without them, you would not need the holy instant. So I know for me, when I, again, was in years of intense anxiety, this is saying, concentrate only on your willingness and be not disturbed by the picture. Be not disturbed by the struggles that seem to be present in whatever form they take. We came into this experience of this seeming separation because we wanted to, and so the holy instant is then provided to us as we are practicing this as those glimpses of our way out. So it's saying very clearly here to focus on your willingness and be willing to look past the picture. That was always a very comforting idea to me, because
you know,
I would get focused on the picture and be very upset by it, judging it that I wasn't making good progress. Paula.
Last week I was upset about something, and I was walking on the boardwalk, and I know Paul had mentioned page 90, and I just couldn't seem to get off of this thing that was bothering me. And that it occurred to me, I must have decided wrongly, because I'm obviously not at peace here. And before I even started saying that page 90, there was the ego in the background. It's like, that's not going to help. That's not going to help. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. But I just kept doing it. And within just a few minutes, like, everything shifted.
Mm.
And it works. And it's really powerful to really just grip that willingness and stick with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I really loved the line after the ones that Corinne just read. It says, come to it not in arrogance, assuming that you must achieve the state its coming brings with it. And I think that kind of was an answer to what I had been saying before, is assuming that I have to feel that or feel something right away, when all I have to do is really just keep handing it over or whatever. Just that little bit.
However.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever or how, whatever feels right at the moment. And page 90, I mean, I've got it memorized. So it really helps, you know.
It's such a good reset button. And that's how quick it is. Paula, you said it was minutes that it shifted. It can be a couple minutes. It can be a couple seconds. It's an instant shift. And that's how powerful that is, that prayer. That's how powerful the Course is. But that prayer is particularly helpful. I love this next sentence, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was. I just had a thought when you were talking, Corinne, and what came to me is just like the overwhelming sense that the paragraph is also talking about, like, laying aside what we think intentions are. So don't even focus on what you think your intention is. Just focus on the willingness.
Yeah.
That's because when it talks about the shadows, what came to mind is like when you're in the thick of something, you don't know what your intentions even mean, because you're putting, like people said before, a judgment on what's good and not good. And we don't know what that is. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's helpful, Deidre. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? When you are in a you know, a situation that is, say, it's more challenging than just a thought about somebody. Say you're really feeling depressed or you're feeling a certain way. Like Corinne, when you were having your anxiety, choosing the holy, how did you choose the holy, how do you choose the holy instant? I'm confused about that. What exactly is the holy instant? It's going just to the present moment and choosing the Holy Spirit. Is that the holy instant?
I'm going to actually, you inspired me to grab my Ken Wapnick Course in Miracles dictionary, and I'm going to turn to holy instant. The holy instant is that suspension, I'm looking for it, that suspension of everything. It's that suspension of our beliefs. It's a suspension of, you know, our judgments. It's a suspension of all that we've made, and it's like a dropping into a feeling and experience of the love that we are. Here it is. His definition of the holy instant, the instant outside time in which we choose forgiveness instead of guilt, the miracle instead of a grievance, the Holy Spirit instead of the ego, the expression of our little willingness to live in the present, which opens into eternity, rather than holding on to the past and fearing the future, which keeps us in hell. Also used to denote the ultimate holy instant, the real world, the culmination of all holy instants we have chosen along the way. So that's what Ken Wapnick wrote about the holy instant. So as it said with what we read, we don't make the holy instant happen. The only thing that we can do is to decide that we want it above all else. So in other words, we decide that we want the Holy Spirit above the ego. We decide that we want forgiveness instead of guilt. We want a miracle instead of a grievance. We decide that we want that above all else, and that's how we just prepare our minds, according to what we just read, to experience that holy instant that will come forth when we're ready. It comes forth seemingly spontaneously, but I know that we've all had those glimpses, those momentary glimpses into the capital L love, and those are holy instants.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, sure does. Thanks.
Awesome. Handy little dictionary. Grateful to Ken Wapnick for putting it together. Other questions or inspirations or examples, insights?
You wouldn't want to read that definition again, would you?
You know what? I can...
Or post it.
I'll read it again.
Okay.
The holy instant is the instant outside time in which we choose forgiveness instead of guilt, the miracle instead of a grievance, the Holy Spirit instead of the ego, the expression of our little willingness to live in the present, which opens into eternity, rather than holding on to the past and fearing the future, which keeps us in hell. And then it's also to denote the ultimate holy instant was the second part. What was that, Paula?
That really is that suspension of judgment that I don't know. I just don't. You just have to want to be happy.
Right.
You know,
right.
Above all else. And, I mean, it just lifts everything off of you when you really recognize. I don't know.
Yeah. The next sentence also, next compared to where my eyes just were, but sort of the end of the paragraph that we just read, the miracle of the holy instant lies in your willingness to let it be what it is. So you just reminded me of that, Paula, when you said, you know, that statement again, I don't know. I don't know what the miracle of the holy instant, you know, I don't know with my brain what that is. I can't intellectually get it. It's an experience. And so with my willingness to just let truth be without putting my stuff, my blocks, my judgments out there, that's what that sentence is speaking to me, and it's a really powerful one. So that willingness to just let it be what it is, to say, I don't know, and to open my mind to receive.
Sometimes I think you have to have maybe a little fit in the meantime. You know
what
I mean?
Okay.
And really, sometimes just a good cry,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes, to just break the spell. You know, honestly, the ego is a spell that's cast over you when you're not diligent, you know, when you're not willing to keep that focus on Holy Spirit. And in order to break that, sometimes you just have to have a fit.
No guilt.
and no guilt over it, you know. A good cry can really make a huge difference, and that opens the door sometimes. It just depends on how deeply insane you are at the moment. I find if I'm watching too much of the news or television, you know, it's like, oh, no, can't.
Yeah. I'll just highlight the very last sentence of this paragraph again, because this is all just so good. I could read every single sentence over and over. And in your willingness for this lies also your acceptance of yourself as you were meant to be. Yeah. Meaning, again, acceptance. I feel almost like this is not from the Course. This is my own experience, that I came to accept my lowercase s self first, and then sort of was able to open even more to accepting the capital S self as I am. So this sentence speaks to that for me, that in your willingness for this lies also your acceptance of yourself as you were meant to be.
And
so accepting our
process.
Yeah. Accepting our capital S self that is already there. And yes, it's absolutely a process.
And I don't think, Corinne, you can accept your uppercase self until you accept your lowercase self.
It's possible. That was my experience. Could it be different for somebody else?
You
maybe.
Accepted your lowercase and then your true self.
That was my experience. That was my experience. But that might not be true for the next person, but my guess is that what you're saying,
I'm just thinking, if you've got a lot of issues and you've got some baggage from childhood and you've got all that kind of stuff, I think you have to accept that and not berate yourself for that. You know what I mean? Not feel guilty about that and angry about that. You've got to accept that you are innocent, that you, that sort of thing, that kind of acceptance.
I agree.
You can't jump that and go to the true self and then leave that stuff unaddressed. I don't think you can. Maybe you can.
I'm only speaking from experience, so I
yeah,
tend
yeah,
not
yeah,
make,
I'm here, there's my,
yeah.
That's my, and that's maybe not true, so I'm going to let that go.
Any other questions or comments? We can keep reading.
Yes, what are we reading?
Like, oh. Is that Carla? Hi, Carla.
Hi. I can't play incognito here.
You have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, correct? I believe. In FIP, it's chapter 18, part 4. The section is the little willingness, and we just read 1, 2 paragraphs. We're starting the third paragraph. And on that note, I'll start reading the third paragraph. Humility will never ask that you remain content with littleness, but it does require that you be not content with less than greatness, which comes not of you. Your difficulty with the holy instant arises from your fixed conviction that you are not worthy of it. And what is this but the determination to be as you would make yourself? God did not create his dwelling place unworthy of him. And if you believe he cannot enter where he wills to be, you must be interfering with his will. You do not need the strength of willingness to come from you, but only from his will. I was going to share something, and it flew out of my head, so I'll come back to that thought. I like how this is saying that greatness, that second sentence, it does require that you be not content with less than greatness, which comes not of you. So there it is again, prompting us to step out of the way, to let greatness come through us from, again, the capital L, love that we all are. Oh, I know what it was that I was going to share. On a previous call, I don't remember who this was, if this was Paula, this is going back a while ago, when we were talking about the will of God. I think it was you, Paula. Forgive me if it was somebody else, but substituting his will, substituting the word love for will. So I'm going to reread the second to last sentence. He cannot enter where he wills to be. He cannot enter where he wills to be. You must be, I need to read that from the very beginning of that sentence. I knew something wasn't right. And if you believe he cannot enter where he wills to be, you must be interfering with his love. You do not need the strength of willingness to come from you, but only from his love. So that can help you sort of really bring home this idea of God's will. It's God's love. It's the same thing. It's one and the same. Do you remember that, Paula? Was that from you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it can be applied throughout.
Yes.
Anytime you're stuck with what was that? Just substitute it with love, and it clarifies immediately.
Mm-hmm. It does. So as I was reading those sentences, that came to mind, and it's powerful with that word love. It's important to look also. So the third sentence, your difficulty with the holy instant arises from your fixed conviction that you are not worthy of it. So it's important for us to look at any feeling of unworthiness that might be there, however subtle, because if we're able to touch it, that unworthiness in any capacity, we're touching it as a good thing, because then we're able to bring it to the surface to say, oh, yeah, that is in my mind. Here, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. We are worthy. God did not create his dwelling place unworthy of him. Other questions, insights?
Why do we choose to wander?
I often wonder that myself. Why did I ever defend against this? You know, when we have those holy instants, when we have those experiences of love, it's like, why did I ever defend against this? The answer, I guess, goes to because we want it. We enjoy. There's part of me
in
that
this
still
body.
Say, yeah, I still enjoy. There's part of me that still enjoys being Corinne. I want to play like a separate self a little longer. And there's no cause for guilt there, but that's an opportunity for me to look at that with Holy Spirit. I'm hearing a bell sound.
Yeah, what is it?
Sue, I think it's your line, actually. Do you hear that, or do you have something in your background? Sue, can you hear me?
I'm not hearing you very well.
You aren't?
No, you're kind of going in and out.
There was a sound coming from your line. It sounds like a bell.
Abel from my line?
Yeah. Did you have me on speaker?
Okay, let me turn the speaker off.
Okay, I think that's doing it.
That's
it's
better?
If any of yes, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. It creates speakerphone usually creates feedback if you're not on mute.
Okay.
So thank you. Any other questions or insights that anybody feels moved to share? Let's read some more. The holy instant does not come from your little willingness alone. It is always the result of your small willingness combined with the unlimited power of God's love, God's will. You have been wrong in thinking that it is needful to prepare yourself for Him. It is impossible to make arrogant preparations for holiness and not believe that it is up to you to establish the conditions for peace. God has established them. They do not wait upon your willingness for what they are. Your willingness is needed only to make it possible to teach you what they are. If you maintain you are unworthy of learning this, you are interfering with the lesson by believing that you can make the learner different. You did not make the learner, nor can you make him different. Would you first make a miracle yourself and then expect one to be made for you? And I'll pause there. So the holy instant, it's saying, comes from our little willingness combined with the unlimited power of God's will or God's love, which obviously is not up to us. That just is. That part is. Our part is simply to have that will, that little bit of willingness. It says, we've been wrong in thinking that it's needful to prepare ourselves for love. It's impossible to make arrogant preparations for holiness, for love, and not believe that it is up to you to establish the conditions for peace. So we can lapse into thinking that we need to do a lot of work to let peace come forward, but it's saying clearly that God has established peace. It just is. It doesn't wait upon our willingness for what it is. Our willingness is just possible, is needed so that we can learn what peace is, so we can learn what love is, which already is. That made sense in my head. I have no idea if it came out clearly or not. But any comments or questions on this paragraph?
No, but I was reading something today, and I can't say what page it was on, but it was really, I always think, you know, sometimes you do get the feeling like, well, this illusion is just too heavy. It's just, you know, it's just not going to, it can't respond to the miracle. And there was a he was describing it was early in the text about how he said this doesn't make any sense because do you remember maybe you remember this where there's three apples on the table and he said negative numbers, you know, theoretically this all makes sense, but in practicality negative numbers don't mean anything. He said, he said, when you remove the three apples from the table, you don't say, oh, that's a table minus three apples. You just say, that's a table. So it doesn't matter how many apples are on that table. You just remove it, and it's a table. So the size of the illusion means nothing because you have removed something that once it's gone. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It made sense to me because sometimes I think, oh, this is going to take a really big miracle to get rid of this illusion. But he's saying, no, it's just the fact that once it's removed, and it doesn't matter how many apples are on the table remains.
Right. Yeah. And that's where, as we get, as we, how do I want to say this? A lot of issues, a lot of struggles that I had in the fear realm, in the anxiety realm, a lot of them went away not because I was working on each one independently, which I tried, but instead I started working, this is a part of my personal journey, what I mentioned before about touching the part of me that loves being Corinne, I started going just straight there. Like, oh, I do love being this separate self. I'm willing to look at that with Holy Spirit. Because I recognize that loving being a separate self had to bring fear with it. It had to, because you think you're alone. You think so many things that you have to prepare, you know, defend. You have to, you know, make sure you have enough food, enough money in the bank for retirement, all those things that, you know, you think you have to do to take care of yourself. And as I just started going to the desire to remain a separate self and the guilt that came with that, because there was guilt there too, as I started just being really willing to go there to that deeper place, I'm not saying that that guilt is gone, but with being able to go there and look at that, all these unrelated things on the surface would be undone. They would fall away. So that is an example, I think, Sue, of what you were just saying, that as we get to, you know, looking at the source, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. There's nothing that cannot be healed because it's all based on truth.
On life. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was very, very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing what you shared. That was super helpful. Let's read the next paragraph. You merely ask the question. The answer is given. Seek not to answer it, but merely receive the answer as it is given. In preparing for the holy instant, do not attempt to make yourself holy to be ready to receive it. That is but to confuse your role with God's. Atonement cannot come to those who think that they must first atone, but only to those who offer it nothing more than simple willingness to make way for it. Purification is of God alone and therefore for you. Rather than seek to prepare yourself for him, try to think thus. I, who am host to God, am worthy of him. He who established his dwelling place in me created it as he would have it be. It is not needful that I make it ready for him, but only that I do not interfere with his plan to restore to me my own awareness of my readiness, which is eternal. I need add nothing to his plan. But to receive it, I must be willing not to substitute my own in place of it. And there for me, with the example that I just gave and with that last sentence, I was in touch with the part of me that still wanted to substitute my own plan, my own desires, instead of knowing truth. And simply touching, being able to own that and touch that was an opportunity to look at it with spirit. So this is a very helpful and beautiful prayer. Any reactions, any thoughts?
I just thought it might be kind of funny to share this for people that are listening or anybody on the call, but all this stuff about preparing for and being ready for the Holy Spirit, it makes me laugh now, because when I first started doing angel work, I was very, very nervous about embracing doing sessions for people because I was afraid of making a mistake. And I would spend 2, 3, 4 hours meditating beforehand, you know, just so I would get everything what I thought at the time would be perfect, you know, I'd have the total right ambiance and, you know, everything would be just, you know, perfection. And after doing it for several years now, it's like Spirit has taught me that there is nothing that can interfere with your ability to be a channel, because that's what you are. That's what you can't lose something that you already have. So it doesn't matter how much you prepare. You could be in a bathroom stall and spirit could move through you and you could say something that needs to be expressed. And there's no preparation required for that at all. So I just thought I would share that.
That's awesome, DJ. I'm so happy you shared that, because what you were saying was also kind of coming to mind for me, and you said it so beautifully that it makes me think of rituals, like, oh, you know, to meditate, I need to light a candle or have incense or, you know, get my bells or, you know, have all this to get ready. And Holy Spirit will use anything to help us wake up. So if we feel that we need that and that helps us, beautiful. But we can also offer that at the same time to Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we learn with just your story that you just shared that ultimately we don't need it. You know, the belief that we do need certain things falls away in our learning that, you know, right now is all we need. So I'm so glad that you shared that, because it's a really, really beautiful example.
Yeah, and there are times where meditation, you know, is really helpful, and I love what you've shared, Corinne, because you're not saying that don't do those things, because spirit uses anything.
Right.
So I still meditate and I still do certain things, but I'm not like, I don't feel pressure and I'm not making it like this big thing, and you know, so it's totally shifted my outlook, and I've learned to just like, I could just go in and ask spirit, what would you have me say? And it'll come out, you know? So there's no preparation required for that.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
I have to share something that really tickled me. That came through in my journal. I was asking about mantras and, you know, and all the different kind of things, and came through that yes, for certain, you know, and you know, throughout time and certain religions, it helped people focus, and you know, they, you know, it, you know, that sort of thing. He said, but it's not that the ritual or the whatever the form itself. He said, if done. Or in the journal it said, if done with sincerity, faith, and devotion, eating a pickle every day at noon would do the same thing.
I love it. You know, I just made my very first batch of pickles. This is totally a digression, but yum, I love them. Look for a photo. I'm going to post it on I'll post it on Instagram and share it on my Facebook page. That's awesome. I'm always going to think of that now when I eat my pickles.
You have to do it with sincerity, faith, and devotion.
I will do it with sincerity, absolutely. That's awesome. Thank you. We're actually going to finish up this section tonight, so we have three more paragraphs. Let's keep going. This is so good, and again, it's saying the same thing over and over. It's saying, be willing and don't do the Holy Spirit's job. Can sum up the whole section. All right. And that is all. So we just read that prayer. And that is all. Add more, and you will merely take away the little that is asked. Remember, you made guilt, and that your plan for the escape from guilt has been to bring atonement to it and make salvation fearful. And it is only fear that you will add if you prepare yourself for love. The preparation for the holy instant belongs to him who gives it. Release yourselves to him whose function is release. Do not assume his function for him. Give him but what he asks, that you may learn how little is your part and how great is his.
That confuses me a little bit. The part about bringing guilt, just the wording of that. Could you read that again?
Remember, was it the second sentence? Remember you made guilt and that your plan for the escape from guilt has been to bring atonement to it. So we are asked to bring guilt to, we're asked to apply the atonement to guilt. In other words, bring guilt to Holy Spirit, you know, to let it, to let the Holy Spirit undo it for us. This is saying the reverse, that our plan for the escape from guilt has been essentially to try to undo fear ourselves, and therefore salvation becomes fearful, because we think that, you know,
we're sinners and we need
atonement. We're sinners, it's a vengeful God, all that stuff.
Okay.
That's sometimes the course gets coursey, and and yeah, that kind of double negative can be a little confusing. Let's keep reading. It is this that makes the holy instant so easy and so natural. You make it difficult because you insist there must be more that you need to do. And it is very hard for you to realize that it is not personally insulting that your contribution and the Holy Spirit's are so extremely disproportionate. You are still convinced your understanding is a powerful contribution to the truth and makes it what it is. Yet we have emphasized that you need understand nothing. Salvation is easy just because it asks nothing that you cannot give right now. I'm just going to go ahead and read the last paragraph and then we'll talk. Forget not that it has been your decision to make everything that is natural and easy for you impossible. What you believe to be impossible will be, if God so wills it, but you will remain quite unaware of it. If you believe the holy instant is difficult for you, it is because you have become the arbiter of what is possible and remain unwilling to give place to one who knows. The whole belief in order of difficulty of miracles is centered on this. Everything God wills is not only possible, but has already happened. And that is why the past is gone. It never happened in reality. Only in your minds, which thought it did, is its undoing needful. So did you hear the humor in this? I just think that going back to the second to last paragraph, it's very hard for you to realize that it is not personally insulting that your contribution and the Holy Spirit are so extremely disproportionate. Yeah, the Holy Spirit does most, does the work, really. It's just our little part to have that willingness. And we don't need to understand. I'll hold my thought. What was that, Paula?
I think the ego, you know, that background noise is the problem. You know, it's constantly undermining this very thing. Mm-hmm. And it takes real diligence to be aware of that voice.
Yeah.
And to, you know, choose peace instead of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was going to add just that next sentence after the one I just read. You are still convinced your understanding is a powerful contribution to the truth and makes it what it is. So our understanding means nothing or isn't necessary at all to let truth be what it is, because truth, love with a capital L, it already is. That's why this prayer, this mantra, whatever you want to call it, that we've been talking about, I don't know, I know nothing, is so powerful, because we're letting go of the, you know, really, that to me is another way of saying, you know, I'm letting go of the need to figure it out. I'm letting go of the need to know, and that recognition that we know nothing, because then we're opening ourselves to letting truth be what it is, to experiencing it. So, other questions or insights in the last couple of minutes that we have?
I had found another definition for holy instant by Robert Perry that I can share, or if we don't have time,
cool.
I can put it in the Facebook page too.
Go for it. Share it. Yes, please.
Okay. It should be pretty quick, but it might clarify a little bit, especially since it kind of points to the experience that we have when we gather. So he says, it's a moment in which we temporarily set aside the past and enter into the timeless present, in which we momentarily leave behind our habitual, insane mindset and recognize what is real. A holy instant can occur privately during meditation, for instance, or it can be shared by two people, which would make it a holy encounter. It can vary in strength. It can be anything from a relatively minor experience to a life-transforming miracle, to a revelation, a direct experience of heaven, called an out-of-pattern time interval early in the text. So I kind of liked how he pointed how it's like it's a moment where we're just letting go of the past. He kind of breaks it down.
I love that, and I love how he also went on to say that the holy incident, when it's shared, there's the holy encounter, because that makes me think what you said, Paul, is just what happens on these calls, that we all at some point, I'm sure, have had those experiences of like, oh, you know, all the stuff falls away. We're collectively dropping the insanity, and so we're opening ourselves to these holy instants, to these holy encounters together on these calls, and that's feels so good. So that was beautiful. I'm so grateful that you found that.
Yeah,
it's
a really great book. Thanks for letting me share.
What was the book again that it came from?
It's called Path of Light, and it's been around for a while. Robert Perry wrote it,
awesome. And
he has a great glossary, and he actually has a whole section on holy instants. So.
Oh, cool.
Path of Light.
Isn't he with Circle of Atonement?
Yes. Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're at the top of our time together, so thank you, everybody, so much for being here. I'm joining you all in a group hug in gratitude for the holy encounters that we co-create with, obviously, with Holy Spirit, because we are putting Holy Spirit in charge.
Hey.
And I hope that you all join me, that everyone will join me in putting Holy Spirit first. I want that. I want truth above all else, and I invite you to join me in that desire and in that willingness. So I love you all.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Corinne, when do we get the archives of these calls?
It is archived on my website. I can send you the link if you don't have the initial email that came out with the call details. It's in that email.
I don't. That would
okay,
I appreciate
I'll,
that.
I'll forward it to you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Bye, everybody.